These are the Kashi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kashi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hello, everybody. I'm John Hewlett, and my partner is the mighty Favaz.
Hello, John.
Hi, Fozzie. Hey, it's time for another Kashi Tapes edition, and this is number 61, and it's brought to you by Black Raven Digital AFC.
You know, if you want your business website to get found online, it takes some strategy. It really does. And putting together a search engine optimization plan with a team right here in St. Louis is your first step in getting found when your potential customers go out looking for your services. So I've said this before, don't just get found when people look for you, get found when people look for what you do. Implement a better SEO plan today with a St. Louis-based team, and that would be Black Raven. Let Black Raven AFC help you today. Just go to blackravendigital.com and reach up today.
Okay, today we're doing an interview that I did back in 1979 with Sammy Hagar. And this may be the oldest interview we have in our archives.
And do you want to tell the story about how we had to put this on computer?
Oh, well, yeah, I'll try to. This was recorded.
In layman's terms.
Yeah.
It was recorded slow.
Yeah, it was recorded on reel-to-reel on a machine at three and a half speed or three and a quarter speed. And you would do that if you didn't have much tape on your spool, so
right.
You wanted it to run slow so you could get the whole interview on there.
Right.
So I had it running slow. So fast forward 79, 89, 99, 40 years. 40 years. And we're trying to play it back on a machine we have here
or
in the studio.
50 years? No.
No,
no
40 years.
Years, yeah.
Trying to play it back on a machine we have here in the studio that only plays tapes back at 7.5 and 15.5, although the machine itself says...
I know, it says 3.5.
3.25 and 7.5. So I thought we had the right thing, but we didn't. So that means we had no machine to play it back at the right speed.
Right.
So what were we going to do? So we thought, well, we'll play it into the computer at a fast speed at 7.5, and it just sounded like chipmunks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could just slow it down, you know? We could just slow it down.
Right.
Well, for whatever reason... Or maybe because we don't know how to do it, we couldn't get the computer to slow it down properly.
Right.
Now, it would slow it down in preview.
Right.
But every time we wanted it to take the interview so that we could edit it and things like that, It would just go nuts and it would be distorted and you couldn't even understand what was being said.
Until we called in Craig Rutledge and he figured
it out.
Well,
no, we called him in while he was doing all that.
Yeah.
And so... I said to Craig, well, why don't we play it back in preview into another computer here, and we'll have a chance that way. And he
so
goes,
you're the one that figured it out?
Yes. Isn't that shocking?
I didn't know that. Yes, it is shocking.
He said, you know what? That's a pretty good idea. And, it is? Wow. So anyway, so we started doing it that way. But for whatever reason...
John, chief engineer, KC95.
But for whatever reason, it would stop every 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So we had to keep... And this is a 13-minute interview.
Hmm.
So we had to keep going back, and finally we got it all in there. Then I had to edit it all back together, and we saved it. And it's not quite the right pitch. I mean,
right.
I think it's still running maybe a little bit slow, but it's very understandable, and we got it.
And the one thing I want to say about this interview, because I was in here when you were, you know, trying to put it in the computer, and from even the chipmunks, I could hear people cheering out, you know, in the interview. And this has to be the interview that I listened to when I was 14 years old. And it was, you know, I remember Sammy saying something like, they don't even do this in Detroit, where people, you know, gathered outside the Kashi studios in Crestwood and were cheering them on. And you could hear it in the interview.
Yeah. This was not done in front of a live audience. This, the people you hear were outside a closed window with the curtains drawn.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's really neat.
Yeah. You can hear them bleeding into the interview and they're yelling at Sammy and he's talking.
I can't wait
back
to hear it. I cannot wait to hear this.
So here we go. An interview that we thought was going to be lost forever is going to come back to life here on the Kashi Tapes.
You're tuned to Kashi 95 KSHE Crestwood St. Louis, and we're in the middle of lunch with Sammy Hagar musically, and now Sammy has joined us for lunch.
It's a little slow, running a little slow.
A little bit, but yeah, sounds all right.
And he is here in person. Sammy, welcome.
Oh, and again, he was here for the lunch show.
Right, yeah.
Which I used to do at noon on Monday through Friday. I'd pick one artist and play that artist's music for the entire hour. Sammy happened to join in that.
Nakashi in St. Louis.
Thank you. I'm sitting here looking at some photographs of myself. How vain can you get, right?
And that was, what, a year ago, right? Those pictures were taken?
Yep. And I still look good. I can't believe it, man. Oh, my God.
We'll talk more about that.
Oh, look at this one. Oh, my God. Oh, hey, I can't stand it. Oh, this is a cool guy right here. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
We'll talk more about that after this.
You'll save lots of green when you see red.
Hey, commercial. Hey. That was quick.
I know.
Peaches, your one-stop record and tape center for Christmas.
Wow. A, that's Jim Singer, who used to be on the air with us a long time, still a good friend. And Peaches Records, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were two locations, one on Chambers Road in North County. That's where you probably went.
I used to go to that one.
Yeah, one at Chippewa and Hampton.
Mm-hmm. In the studio with me right now, Sammy Hagar. Sammy,
you're
ready to go.
We've already said that once. People know who I am just by my voice, don't you, out there?
Well, we'll keep saying it. That way, if they tune out just for some reason, they come back, they know that you're here.
And in case they forget, I'll give them a big scream every now and then.
You look like you're ready to go right
now. Are
you
kidding?
You can go on stage now and do a three-hour set.
I've been on tour. This is right at the end of the tour, going home Monday. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that every show since September 2nd has been a warm-up for this one. And well, that's no jive.
Being on the road for the holidays, you got to feel at least like you're somewhat at home, because St. Louis definitely is a town for Sammy Hagar.
It's a close.
See, I'm just trying to make him feel comfortable.
Good job.
Saying the home is as far as reception goes that I've witnessed anywhere in the whole world. Mm-hmm. And that's no kidding. Same, like in San Francisco, which is where the band is from, we play the same size hall there, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest hall in town, and it's usually jam-packed, and it's madness, and it's just really great. My last show in this town, as a matter of fact, almost ruined my relationship with Boston.
I was there.
Yeah.
I was there at that Boston show.
Yeah.
So this is the show. So it was in March. He opened for Boston, and then he comes back in November. We're right around Thanksgiving, I think.
Yes.
He was going to, I think you guys talk about it, that he was going to play a show at the arena, his first time headlining in St. Louis, where it was the Scorpions and Pat Travers, and it was going to be heard all across the United States on various radio stations, including Casey.
That's right.
I know the response was fantastic to that show.
It really was. It was just too much. It took me by surprise. And so I'm really ready for this one tonight. And I just talked to Tom Scholz on the phone the other day, because he's going to be involved on my new album. We're going in the studio January 2nd. He's going to engineer the new album.
Oh, that's great.
And he says, where are you now? I said, I'm in St. Louis. And he goes, what are you playing there? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, he says, don't be surprised if the people just sit there and stuff. And I says, you got to be kidding. I says, you mean you've forgotten?
Yeah.
Tom Scholz was a dickhead back then. I hated him then.
Yeah, there you go. He's trashing the audience.
Yeah, trashing the audience.
What happened in St. Louis?
Really?
I mean, he actually had forgotten.
When you're in St. Louis, they're probably making sure they're in Japan or something.
Right.
You know. Let's hear.
What did that mean?
I don't know.
Plain Jane off the new LP.
Okay.
Sammy Hagar on Casey.
Hey.
That was quick.
Yeah. Street Machine was the album that was released. That.
Yeah.
This is Casey 95. We're speaking with Sammy Hagar. If that window is any indication, Sammy.
That window looks like tonight. The concert out there, man.
There's 20-25 people out there.
At least.
And,
I'm ready to set up
an
amp here and get my guitar out and start jamming for them.
They're pumped, I'll tell you that. They're
I told
ready.
Them that not to burn themselves out, though. I still need those voices at the show, you know. I don't want to see them guys out there trying to holler and be so hoarse nothing's coming out.
Well, if some of these guys sound right now, you'd hear them from the balcony, no problem. You were talking off the air here about a new stage that you built specifically for this tour.
Yes, sir.
Would you explain that to the people here?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain, but we just cleaned the stage up. We got we got the same sound and lights that we were using on the Boston tour, only we rented it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, we get to use all the lights and, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the production's real pretty elaborate. But I had a stage built with ramps and runways and scrims that you can't see any of the amplifiers or anything, but, got a big 40-foot wide wall that goes across the back that's 6 feet high that I can run around and jump off of.
Do you remember this stage?
I definitely remember the stage. Yeah. Sure.
A couple runways that come down. It looks similar to a freeway complex, like an exit on a freeway or something.
Right.
And it's great for running around on, and it's just good, clean backdrop. And I really like it. I enjoy having that because it's the first time I've ever really had my own stage. Well, it's the first mm-hmm. national headline tour I've done, so it's the first time I've ever really got a chance to work on the same stage every night with all the room I need and everything, and it's just really great.
You do a lot of running on stage, and a lot of energy is, of course, put forth.
It's not my fault.
Where do you get the energy?
It's not my fault from the audience, man. They are the whole reason, and they're the ones that should be blamed for it. For anything I do on stage, we have to blame the audience.
You know, you got to point that out, because back in 1979, a lot of the concerts you went to, the bands just stood up on stage and played their instruments and didn't there was not much emotion put into
right.
it. Right.
You know? He did.
Yeah, and he did.
But tonight, you spare Sammy and just sit and say nothing, in other words.
Hey, how can you walk out in front of 15,000 screaming crazy people like that are out there, rock and rollers, and just stand there and sing to them? You gotta listen to them out there. Listen to them. Yeah, how can you walk out there, though, and just stand there and sing? I don't see how some of these groups do it. You know, they just kind of stand around and be real mellow, you know?
Yeah, really.
I couldn't do that, man.
Do you ever find it difficult to consistently keep that high energy pace?
Are there
any shows that you know you go on stage and it's kind of like, boy, I just don't have it in me tonight?
The weirdest thing is right before I go on, every single time before I go on, I'm nervous and I'm thinking, oh man, I just don't feel right. You know, my stomach's a little upset. You know, and I feel kind of weak. You know, you hit the stage, boom, Superman. Yeah. You know,
that's how Favaz and I feel before every KSU yes. Tapes episode.
Yes, and the morning show.
It never fails. So
5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we get morning sickness. Yeah.
Hey, you know, just when he was talking about Tom Scholz was going to produce, the next record was The Danger Zone.
Yeah.
And Tom did, says here, inspiration, pre-production arrangements, and drum recordings. That also features Steve Perry and Neil Sean of Journey were on that record, too.
Yeah.
Danger Zone. So that was one he was getting ready to record.
Yeah. Butterflies disappear after the first song.
Oh, when the bell rings. Yeah.
When the bell rings. What do you say
it's
we hear?
It's one, two, da-da-da-da, you know, it's all over.
Let's hear another song off the new LP, and the new album, by the way, is called Street Machine. And the song that we're going to hear is called Go Straight to the Top.
Yeah,
Sammy Hagar on KSU 95.
Which is a song we really never played much after that. That
right.
was not one of the big songs
no.
off the album.
Mm-mm.
But we didn't know that back by then.
Right.
You know, the
Trans Am was, God,
yeah,
still Trans a big Am. Song.
Yeah. And this KSU Tapes interview with Sammy Hagar from 1979 will continue. But first, I got to remind you that we are brought to you by Black Raven Digital. That's Black Raven Digital. Their website is blackravendigital.com. And they help businesses make their websites really functional and really work in a powerful way so that you can increase your business. You know, you go to a website. I don't know if you're like me. I go to a website and I look at it and I go, this doesn't look too well done. I'm gone in a split second. You don't want to have that happen to you and to your customers and for your business. Black Raven builds websites for businesses like yours every day. Beautiful, functional websites designed for the people that are actually going to be using them. Go to blackravendigital.com. That's blackravendigital.com and see how they can help you. Blackravendigital.com. Reach up today.
KSU 95 in the studio with us is Sammy Hagar. We'll talk more with Sammy after this.
By Britannia.
That was a cool thing back then, though. So many artists were releasing albums, you know. Everything was new, and,
right.
and so much of it was just, you didn't know what to do with it all. You had so much to choose from, you know.
Timing of it was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Famous Bar.
In the studio with me right now, Sammy Hagar, and Sammy is sharing with us lunch today.
Me and my gang outside, man.
Did you bring them with you? Or what?
No, I didn't bring them with me. Whoa!
I don't know if that window's going to hold up there.
Yeah, that's another thing. That window was not like thick, you know, bulletproof glass like we had at Union Station and
right.
you know, we have here. It was just a thin pane of glass, you know. So
how great.
Somebody could have easily have broken it. And I think it had gotten broken. Now that it's, God, I have to talk to Close about that if he remembers that ever happening. Seems to me like I remember the window getting busted.
Really?
At least once.
It sounds like it could have came down there.
Yeah.
I don't know how many encores we're going to do tonight. It's starting to look like it's going to...
Which is also kind of scary, too, back then, because...
Very scary.
We had no protection whatsoever.
Right.
And this was the 70s, man. People were... A lot of,
things aren't like they were
crazy,
today.
There were some crazy people out there on drugs,
yeah, yeah.
and they'd come to the window, you know, drunk or high, and, you know, if you didn't play their song, it was, hey...
Right, right.
Maybe an all-night affair.
Great, great. You can just, what time, I would assume 8 o'clock. I'm pretty sure it's 8 o'clock. The show's 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
the broadcast
so.
Tonight is going to be on KSU Radio.
That's right. I'd forgotten all about that. The broadcast, we're going to do a live broadcast for those people that can't make it to the show or mm-hmm. they haven't got the dough for the tickets. And thanks to Wayne Meisenholder and some of the people down here at KSU, they're putting it all together. And you're going to get a free concert, you might say, you know. I think that's great.
And this not only goes to St. Louis, but it's a 17-city hookup, so it's going to be a nationwide.
We're going to have to show all the other places in America here. There's going to be 17 other cities that St. Louis is going to have to show them how they rock and roll.
You know, it's about time.
Those people are going to be going, what in the hell's going on at that place?
You know, it's about time. We always are one of the recipients of the broadcasts, recorded broadcasts from people doing concerts in Cleveland and San Francisco and L.A. But St. Louis is going to have a chance tonight to show the rest of the nation that St. Louis is maybe right underneath Detroit. Detroit's
no,
a rock and roll city.
I'm telling you, I hate to say it about
We're
Detroit,
just as
man,
rock and
I
roll
ain't just blowing smoke at you, man. It, for me, is better than Detroit. I've played Detroit
Great.
Since Montrose days. I've played there 15 times. To me, St. Louis is probably about the most hardcore rock and roll town in the United States right now. And that's no jive.
And there's a good example of it right there. Right behind
right.
us.
Hey, that don't happen in Detroit.
See, I was right.
What?
I'm telling you, I said that. That don't happen in Detroit. I was listening in my bedroom to this interview.
Oh, wow.
And I was 14 years old. I went to the show that night.
Yeah, son of a gun.
Well, everybody's afraid to go out of their house in Detroit, though. So you never
Somebody
know.
Once said to me that Sammy Hagar is a hungry man, and you put the song on the LP, the new song on the LP is called Straight to the Top. And it seems to me, listening to your music and talking to you and seeing what kind of an energetic person you are, you seem to be very hungry for success. Is that
I'll take it.
A correct way to put it?
Yeah, well, I just have a lot of energy, I guess, you know, meaning that I can't stand not doing it, you know. Like, I go home and I sit around my house for a month or so, and I go crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. I like to get on stage, and I like to do it. And success just gives you more opportunity to do it when you want. Like, if I'm successful enough, when I feel like going doing a show, anyone will say, great, yeah, hey, we'll book you, let's go, let's do it tomorrow night, you know. And if I'm not successful enough, if I can't headline, for instance, then they say, well, see, how would you like to play with so-and-so's coming to town? We'll try to put it together and blah, 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 you know. And so success brings you a lot of freedom that, yeah, I'm hungry for that kind of artistic mm-hmm. and creative freedom.
Now you, Sammy's hungry, period, man.
Yeah.
And great entrepreneur.
Yeah. He proved that over and over.
You know that.
Yeah.
We've talked about it.
Yeah. He proved it not just in the music business, but in other ways.
In the business world.
Yeah. He was 32 at the time of this interview. I was 22.
Played the role of the backup band in previous years. How much of a handicap is that really to an artist?
It's quite a bit. It's really unfair to a place like St. Louis, especially where I've had a big following here, and a lot of people paid money to come and see me when I was opening for another artist,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't get to see but about 50% of the show, mm-hmm. because when you're not headlining, you only get to play for about 40 minutes. You get to use half the lights. Don't have any room on stage. You don't get a sound check. So
leave me alone. I'm trying to interview Sammy Hagar, asshole.
You don't sound that good right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you headline, you're calling all the shots. Or you're giving, I'm going to give 100% show tonight. And so the people that pay money to see me are going to get more than they've ever gotten, to where in the past, like I say, they've sort of been cheated. I mean, I didn't try to cheat them. I gave the best show I could possibly give under the situations. But mm-hmm. that's the problem with supporting another act. And the support acts tonight, the way I treat opening acts is totally different. Pat Travers gets to use the full lights. He don't get to play 2 hours. He gets to play an hour, though. And
Scorpions
get to play 40 minutes, and they get to use all the lights and the sound they want. The only thing, they're just a little bit short on room, but it can't be
helped.
Yeah, because
that's why so many people in the business like Sammy Hagar. He's always been that way.
He's always been that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember now, I was at the show, but they, you know, Casey replayed it, and I recorded it on an 8-track. I recorded over an 8-track, and it was either the Boston 8-track or a Dave Mason 8-track. I just remember I had 8-tracks, and I just...
Oh, on
stuck
an 8-track?
Yeah, on an 8-track. I just recorded over, you know, what I bought.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how I taped the concert.
Now, you know, on the cassette tapes.
Right.
At the top of each cassette tape, there's a little indention.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to put tape over those indentions if you wanted to record on that on that tape.
Not with this 8-track. Because I don't think I had any cassettes in 1979.
Yeah.
You know?
No, 1979, no.
Yeah.
I got three bands on stage, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. But we give them everything we possibly can to give them a full chance. Also, people are walking away from this tour, and the main comment is that it was a great show all the way down the line because each band got to get it on real good. So that's what we're trying to do, is make it a great show, not just come and see Sammy Hagar, come and see a great rock and roll show from beginning to end. And, you know, I'll follow anybody.
I would assume that some cities you go to, you would have to be, I don't want to say picky about the songs you play, but you have to select them. But I know here in St. Louis, no matter what you played, they know Sammy Hagar albums backward and forward, and so you couldn't play the wrong song is what I'm trying to say tonight.
Well, we play just about all of them, I tell you. The set is all together with encores and everything. We've played as long as 2 hours, so we've went overtime almost every night, and it causes a lot of problems to the promoter. It costs extra money and everything, you know.
Yeah,
but
right.
Shelly Grafman was known for telling Mark Close to pull the plug on bands that were going long.
Because you got to pay.
Union.
Well, I know the amphitheater. You have a strict, 11 o'clock got to be over. Now, if it goes past that, the artist, spends the money.
Spends the money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot, it's just when the
Irving,
people are cooking,
that?
Let's cook.
But Sammy and Shelly Grafman, they were very close.
They were.
Yeah. Yep. So he would never pull Sammy's plug.
Right.
Really. You're going to do a lot of the songs off the new LP, I would assume.
Yeah,
tonight.
Five of them.
You want to tell me what they are by any chance?
Nope.
Okay, let's play one anyway. Let's play one of the songs off the new LP. The LP is called, of course, Street Machine. And the tune we're going to hear is Never Say Die, Sammy Hagar on KC Radio.
Another one I don't think we played much of.
I don't think so.
Never Say Die, Sammy Hagar and his and a new song off his new LP. The new LP is called Street Machine. And Sammy's in the studio with us right now. We will continue the interview with Sammy Hagar after this short word.
And in Crestwood.
Seven. We're speaking with Sammy Hagar. Sammy, you got a song in the movie The Rose.
Yeah, Bette Miller's new movie.
How about this here? People forgot about this fact.
Okay.
Actually, she originally heard my song Red on the radio and liked it and recorded it and then did it on TV a couple times. There are guys out there, I'm telling you.
Bette Midler did Red.
I'm dying to hear that now. Yeah. We got to find that.
But anyway, she hit on me when the movie The Rose, when she first got the script, she asked me to come and read the script. So I was on the road, so I took the script, and I wrote a couple songs, and I also sent her Keep on Rockin', which I thought was perfect for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she used it, and it might be the single. I know it's going to be on the soundtrack, and I've seen the movie, and it's great, actually. It's one of the better rock and roll movies. A Star is Born didn't really portray the real side of rock and roll. It was a good movie and all, but it just really didn't portray what it was like. But this movie was pretty close, especially probably in 67 when it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be about Janis Joplin.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1967, I think things were probably just about like that, I wasn't involved in it very strong then. It's when I was first getting started, actually. So I don't know what it was really like, but it was the closest thing to what it's like today that I've seen in a rock and roll movie anyway. So I was real glad to have a song in there.
For sure.
Some of you people might want to check that movie out. It's actually pretty good. Bette Miller's real good in it, real natural. She'll crack you up.
When he says natural, he means all natural.
And pretty feisty, too.
Really,
Sam,
John?
He looks good, yes.
Definitely.
Very good. It's 5 minutes after one. We're KSHE Crestwood, St. Louis. Sammy, I don't know how much time you have, but if you want to stick around and play DJ for a while, you're quite welcome to do so.
I think I got
to
get out of here. We got to do a sound check,
and
I want to make sure the other bands get a sound check, so I got to do mine earlier. And I got to go out and take care of all these guys outside.
Tape's starting to go haywire here.
Yeah, you're speeding up, you're slowing down.
I hear these crazy rock and rollers come down here.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for coming out today.
Hey,
lunch
thank
was
you.
1 hour with Sammy Hagar.
And I'll see you people tonight.
For sure. For a lot of people, you made this a rock and roll weekend. We're going to close with that song right
Let's
now.
Let's do it.
Take care.
There you go.
Wow. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Was that the first time you interviewed him?
Yes.
That was the first time.
And I got a great photo, too, after that interview. It's on a, what do you call those, Polaroids, where you take the picture and it rolls out of the camera right then.
Did that make it onto the Casey Museum?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
I thought so.
Yeah. He's wearing
it's online.
He's wearing a red shirt. I got a big old mustache in it, a nice big dark black furry mustache in it. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite pictures that I have. We both were photogenic, at least at that moment in time. I don't take many good pictures myself, but that one I'm pretty proud of. But I just remember being very nervous for that interview because I had not done very many interviews.
Hmm.
But once I moved into the midday portion of broadcast day, the interview started happening fairly frequently. Yeah, started piling up. But prior to that, I was working 7 to midnight, and, artists were. Occasionally, somebody would come in late after a concert. But, matter of fact, my very first interview here on Casey was with Bill Lorden, who was the drummer of Gypsy and Robin Trower.
Wow.
And it was after a show. He came in. It was
pretty neat.
Like 11 o'clock at night, yeah.
So. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
That would be the oldest interview I have, but people don't know who Bill Lorden is, so I don't know if that's something we'd use on the Casey tapes.
I think when people say, why does Sammy love St. Louis so much and blah, blah, play that interview.
Yeah.
That's all you got to, because 1979, you hear the people just you know, clamoring to get a piece of him. You know, they were right outside the window. They just loved him.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
He was honest.
His popularity was building.
Yeah.
Not at its peak yet, but he was on fire.
But, you know, that was the first time he was going to headline St. Louis at the arena.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember where I sat. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that show. And I think it was Ted Habeck was the one that was kind of like the voice. Welcome to St. Louis. This is, you know, Casey, whatever, you know. And he was the host. And when I re-recorded it, when they played it back, I'm pretty sure I've got his voice on it. So
speaking of voices, I have my 1970s Casey's voice on in that interview, you know, coming out of the KEZK days.
Right.
So, all right. That's it. Episode 61 of the Casey Tapes. Brought to you by
Black Raven Digital or Black Raven AFC.
Adios, my friend.
AMF Johnny.
The Casey Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of Casey, go to Casey95.com or the Casey mobile app.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.